Barbarian Tribes of Rome. Germanic Culture, War, Part 1. Most of the historical accounts which have survived from early times have something to say about the Germanic manner of carrying on war. There's a fair amount of information on the general matters in the works of the Greek and Latin historians, and in the works of those who, although neither Roman nor Greek, but wrote in Latin and discussed movements and the fortunes of many of the Germanic peoples. Such works are Bede's Ecclesiastical History of the English People, Jordan's History of the Goths, Paulus de Conis' Story of the Longobards, Gregory's History of the Franks, and Saxon's History of the Danes, and many others. In addition, there are many passages in the ancient German epics, in the heroic ballads, in the Icelandic Edda and sagas, which depict most vividly the warlike nature of the people and the principles by which they lived and in the way in which they warred and fought. Hundreds of graves, too, have yielded up their buried treasure and have shown actual examples of the swords, spears, daggers, and shields, and other war gear of the time. On the whole, the latter part of the Neolithic period seems to have been a period of migration, land-taking, and war. In northern Europe, in the ancient Germanic home, after the initial shock of the arrival of the single grave people had worn off and a culture and physical assimilation and amalgamation had taken place, the north would appear to have enjoyed several centuries at least of comparative peace, although bronze swords, daggers, and other weapons are common throughout the Bronze Age. There is no evidence of any forcible penetration of the north by a foreign people, and the expansion along the North Sea and along the Baltic does not appear to have caused any general disturbance. Nor is there any evidence of a general exodus from the north which would set many tribes in motion. The conclusion, then, must be that there were no wars on a large scale in the Germanic north during the Bronze Age, and that whatever war was carried on was rather in the nature of tribal wars caused by local disputes and local ambitions. But the situation changed with the beginning of the Iron Age. Tribal migration on a vast scale can only take place peaceably if there is plenty of unoccupied land. But if the supply of land is limited, there will be friction between those who are already settled in the district and those who desire to settle there. So for over 1,000 years, the Germanic youth, and in fact all who could bear arms, were accustomed to the prospect of war and violence. There does not seem to have been any general training system as there was in the Roman army. The individual learned the practice of arms and the art of war at an early age in common with his fellows and under the instruction of his immediate male relatives. The original and basic principles of the Germanic army was an organization by hundreds, as it were called, that is, on the basis of family relationship. It was essential for the elders to see to it that all the younger members of the family became adept at the use of weapons. This organization by hundreds was the common practice at the time of Tacitus. This system undoubtedly had its advantages, not only making it easier to call up the armed strength of the tribe in case of danger, but also because there would be developed in individual units and a feeling of esprit de corps, which is necessary in an efficient army. In the Roman army, this esprit was attained by training and discipline and the prestige of the legion. Actually, there are three forms of war during the Germanic Iron Age, feuds, raids, and wars involving whole tribes and larger organizations. Feuds were no doubt common and universal. The Icelandic sagas and the heroic ballads and epic poems such as Beowulf would certainly show that these private quarrels were very frequent, and there were at times no common tribal law for the regulation of quarrels between individuals, and consequently feuds were the only method of obtaining satisfaction for injury. Raids were organized for two purposes, for booty, but also to spy out the land for future operations. These were organized by individual leaders who wished to repair their fortunes or seek adventure, and who invited all those interested to join them in the expedition. In later times, it's called going a Viking. Tacitus relates how the chieftains would keep their followers in training by engaging in these raids. And Caesar tells us of such chieftains would announce a contemplated raid in the popular assembly and call for volunteers. These raids were private war expeditions, and the tribe as a whole was not necessarily involved. Some of these raiding expeditions eventually led to the migration of whole tribes. An example of this is the mass migration of the Angles, the Saxons, and the Jutes from the continent to England in the 5th century. This mass movement has been preceded had been preceded by generations of individual raids on the English coast during the time of Roman occupation. Similar raids by the Saxons took place in northern French coast. These raiding expeditions were practically always by sea, since a relatively small body of men could carry out a surprise attack, proceed quite a distance inland, collect the booty, and retreat to the shore and be off again before effective resistance could be organized. Alfred the Great of England eventually had to create a fleet to ward off such raids. At times, the raiders made use of horses, but the real element was the sea. Not, however, for sea warfare, but as a means of rapid and secret transportation. So that's a little of the beginning of this. We're going to keep doing quite a bit of this for a while. Now, the source for this, The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Civilization of the Celts by Launay, Civilization of the Steppes by Conrad. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, sumahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.